Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
So I just finished an escape room.
You did just just walked from an escape room. Did you escape?
We escaped. I'm kind of a purist in that. So some people asked for some clues, and I'm like, I think we're doing something wrong.
So did you ask for clues?
I think we have 3 clues. It was challenging. It was very elaborate. I don't know, everybody listening, if you've done escape rooms, I think there's, what I realize now, there's the places you go where it's essentially just a room with 4 walls, and then they put things in there. This one was moving walls, like nice. Multiple rooms, very elaborate.
So I imagine that industry, and we'll talk about this for this industry as well, but I imagine that industry needs to innovate because you only want to sit in a room for so long solving puzzles.
That's right.
So you're like, let's get this interesting. So
interactive.
The last one I did with you, which will be the last one I ever do with you because I'm horrible at escape rooms. I do remember one of the coolest parts was someone found a clue. I know it wasn't me because I didn't find any clues that were helpful. Only funny because it's true.
Yes.
It opened another room. And I thought, that's a great idea. So I'm glad that you're able to escape.
Yeah. If anybody needs somebody that can join you in an escape room and resolve problems that have already been solved by the team.
I'm your guy.
And act like they were solved for the first time. Andy's got you.
I'm like a child. I'm like, hey, look at this. And they're like, Andy, we already solved that one. What about this one? Yeah, we got that one too.
Very good.
I'm like when you ask your kid to help you with a project and you just give them a shovel and you're like, go dig a hole in the corner.
Stay
and
busy.
You're like, you're helping, but really just get out of the way. So I don't even go anymore.
It was a good time. All right. Well, so that's going to segue us into how to sell financial planning.
Well, it's how to innovate, how to get better, So there are components to how to sell planning. And one of the things that we are really big on for people who come to our events is we do pre-event surveys and we actually look through those surveys. And we compare and do analysis of where they are before they come and after. And some of that's just dollars. You know, how much have you made before and after? How much have you made in planning? What's your planning fee before and after? Things like that. But we also ask some questions about what are your priorities? What do you think is most important? And I'll start with this. When we ask people, what are your priorities when it comes to the components of financial planning in order to sell more, they say this. The most important thing is that I want more prospects. The second thing they say is I need to get better at closing. And then the third, fourth, and fifth ranked is, third is they want to know more ideas and planning strategies. Fourth is they want to improve their systems. And the last one is they want to get better at communication. Mm-hmm. So going to defer to you a lot on this episode because this is your progression. I want you to share, if you would, what's the right order? And then I want you to share some stories about how you figured out that order the hard way, but why we want to help you who are listening know this order and to follow the order. And here's why most advisors, mm-hmm. a vast majority, get the order wrong and how much it's hurting their planning business.
In my story, the first thing was I had to figure out that I was average. And average doesn't mean bad. I was helping people. I was making good income. But I was doing what most advisors were doing and what kind of the industry had been accepting. I think the industry is now kind of shifting and waking up to, you know, maybe what is the future of advisors look like and what's their practice look like. So for me, from day one, I was taught that prospects solved all problems, meaning connect with a bunch of people, get them to come into a room with you, try to sell them something, and then figure the other stuff out as you go. And so when I adopted financial planning as a meaningful business vertical, not this extra add-on or sprinkling financial planning for free because I'm doing the AUM, even though that's the world I came from. And I had the head trash of trying to shift to finally realizing I'm valuable. My ideas are valuable. People will pay me for a financial plan and I can manage their assets. Those are two separate things. So as I started adopting that, I carried over my approach from learning to be a financial advisor in the traditional average sense to I am now a financial planner that people will pay to be in a room and guide them and encourage them. But I still was like, I just need more people.
Right.
the downside to that was I carried a lot of limiting beliefs with me into that, because I'm like, well, what are people paying me for? Business owners, I'm not knowledgeable enough to work with them. Why would they work with me? And so we've kind of blazed this trail to some extent as we've built courses and done conferences, that we hear the same limiting beliefs from every advisor that I went through. And so we know this now, like, we don't question it. Like, if you're watching this, I can probably be in your head. If you're not doing this, you haven't fully adopted financial planning, getting paid for your time and ideas, you're thinking some of the things I used to think probably every single day. And what I realize is that it's because I got it out of order. That if I'm leading with just put me in front of a bunch of people, we use the baseball analogy a lot. Like, if I'm not getting a great batting average, or I'm not getting paid what I'm worth for being a great hitter, that the idea is not just keep swinging the same way and hope it eventually works out. It's, hey, maybe you should stop and go get coached, which means in our business, I strongly believe that knowledge comes first. Because once you get the plate appearance, the idea that, you know, whether it's basketball, any sports analogy we can use, if you have the ball at the end of the game, there's people that are nervous and scared and don't want to take the shot. And then there's people that do want to take it. It's preparation that once you get the opportunity, you're less nervous. Maybe not, there's no nerves, but you're less nervous and you're more prepared and confident because you prepared for the opportunity. So in our trainings, we push prospecting off. At our live events, we don't talk about prospecting till day two, because there's preparation that should go first.
And it is frustrating for people who want to come to the event and say, I want more people. And we get to that. But I think we do know that doing more of what's not working is not going to make it work. Mm. We know that. I mean, that's why it's called an average. It's you swing 10 times, you hit it once. If you swing 100 times, you're going to hit it 10 times. Your average should not get better. That's just your average.
The frustrating thing, though, is like, technically you did get more hits. And our industry would say, yeah, if you call a million people,
right,
you're going to get more business than if you call 100. So call a million. And now that I've kind of woken up from that and I look back at it, like, I have some degree of frustration with that, because I was like, while that's technically true, I wish I knew there was a better way to do it.
And I just wish someone would look advisors in the eye and just say, you can do it that way, but let me share another way that for a time is going to be more difficult, but it's going to, we were talking about this, I think last week, Sten, about the idea of, if you want to get over a mountain, you can just go over the mountain. You can climb up the mountain and then go back down the other side, or you can drill through the mountain, which will take a lot longer, but then you have a tunnel and you can just go back and forth on the tunnel. And so many people were just told, like, well, the way you get over a mountain is you just got to climb it, and it's long and it's difficult, and you know, you'll get to the other side. And that's true. You will get to the other side. But imagine getting to the other side and then you're like, what's that noise? And you hear a train and you look and someone has like built a tunnel. Now, the tunnel was difficult. But what you're going to talk about today is, hey, I tried the other way. Now here's the right order to do things. And we're never going to sell that it's easy. It's still hard work, but it's smarter work.
Yeah. So part of me wishes the average way didn't work at all.
Yes.
Because then we wouldn't have to talk about it as much, you know, but it's one of those things where the most dangerous thing is the thing that works just well enough. And advisor after advisor, it's like, I'm making enough income. I'm kind of happy, but my practice consumes me. It's fully reliant on me. I struggle to get prospects my entire career. Like, these things that we've kind of grown to accept. And I think about it with, I was talking to somebody today about my house, how it's so funny that when we have to sell a house, how much stuff you do at the very end. And then you're like, why didn't I do this stuff when I got to enjoy it? And some of that is like, I can guarantee, because we've talked to so many advisors, I can predict the regrets that most advisors have when they're later in their practice. And yet still so many advisors are kind of head down doing the same thing. It's like, we're all kind of on this path that we don't know we're on. We're all ending up at the same place. And at some point, I'm just kind of like, how do we get back to the beginning and start telling people at the front of the line, like, hey, you don't have to do that. Like, there's another way to do it. So when it comes to selling financial planning, I am fully on board with every advisor listening right now. You need to be moving to a place where you can get paid for your time and ideas to some degree. I want us to reject the idea that I'm going to give away 20 hours of my time in a year for $1,000. Like, if you were dipping your toe in planning, yet you're giving so much of it away that it's unprofitable and frustrating to you, like, that's not what we're talking about. I want you to get paid so well. This should be such a profitable piece of your business that also becomes kind of the very tip of your prospecting funnel. Planning clients love the conversation that's not based on selling product. And then eventually they will need some kind of implementation help. And guess who's waiting there. So if you can't yet see the beauty of that business model, I ask you just to kind of sit in it with us, because I've been through the head trash and the frustration and rejecting what I used to do, to coming out the other side being like, I would never do it another way. So for us, and this is what we teach a lot, is step one has to be knowledge. We have to take ourselves seriously. Like, you are telling people what to do with their money. Let's not prioritize the selling abilities over being a knowledgeable professional.
I mean, it's staggering that this has to be said, but I understand it. It's the fact that you can go sell something you don't truly understand. And obviously there's harm to be done for the consumer on that side. But I also think as an advisor, and we'll talk about some of the things when you do it in the wrong order that happen, is that if you don't have the right amount of knowledge, not only could you do the wrong thing, and most people are not malicious in that way in any sense, but if you don't know enough, you're going to miss opportunities. Hmm. Right. I mean, I think about this again as a coach. It's like it's the situation. Like, sometimes, yes, you want to go hit the ball as far as you can, and sometimes you don't want to swing. But you have to know the situation. And so I want to ask you, when you started to say, I want to be known for planning, I want to get paid for my time and ideas, where did you start to feel like, you know what, I'm different than most advisors because I'm thinking about this, I'm learning about this. What kind of knowledge did you start to gain to feel like I am not just collecting AUM, I'm not just giving them a policy? What is the kind of knowledge that you can go get that's worth paying for?
I think it came in stages for me. I think there was an element that I understood when I got into the business. I think stage one for me was, hey, go sell life insurance, fairly basic life insurance, till you make enough money to where you can then afford the right to go study more important things, which would allow you to get bigger clients and sell bigger things. So there's some idea early on for me. It was like, okay, over time, I need to learn more. Partially trial and error. Like, hey, once you get into a situation, you're going to learn. I'm like, mm-hmm. That just didn't sit with me. And then part of my story was I moved to a new city where I didn't have a network to work off of. If I was going to grow my business off relationship, it probably wasn't going to go great for me. So I was forced to really go, like, I need to be technically better than a lot of advisors. So when I get the plate appearance with my ideal clients who most likely already have an advisor, I have something new to bring to them in order to get to gain their business. And I was doing that pretty well. Once I started saying, okay, I'm trying to venture down a path where people are going to pay me just for that. It's one thing when I'm selling products and adding extra value. So I'm trying to woo them into buying the product with some more value. It's another thing to say, hey, I'm not going to sell you anything. The only thing you're paying for is a financial plan, is the things I know or the people I have access to that can come up with strategies for you. That's when I shifted to, I didn't take a year off of business just to get really smart. This is something that you kind of do always together, is that I could learn a new thing on Monday. I can gain knowledge on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I could go find somebody that needs that knowledge on Wednesday, and I'm still following the order. And so I don't want you to hear us at all saying, stop everything you're doing, go into a temple somewhere and meditate for a year, you know, and then come back down the hill, a new advisor. Like, you can start doing this thing tomorrow. What we want, though, is that you start prioritizing knowledge because you recognize that is a confidence builder, and it will be the thing that closes the business for you. It's, you know, we're still going to talk about communication. You need to understand and communicate the product well, but we're not selling things. We are coaching and educating. That's what we want to be great at.
When you learn.
Good. Yeah. The lights were a little bright.
Okay. Once you have enough knowledge on a topic, and that will give you way more confidence to communicate it clearly. Versus just a little, and you're kind of, you know, stammering through the explanation of it. You don't have a story to relate to it. You can't quantify it. There's no analogy. There's no, you know, drawing you can do. Let's assume you're past all that and you really understand it. What are the communication skills that in 2025 are going to separate an advisor from most other advisors?
So I've realized, and it's frustrating to some degree, that the advisor that has the best communication skills will win business. And winning business is not always that you beat out another advisor. Sometimes that's the case. You know, there's a few times a year where I feel like I'm up against another advisor. Most of the case, that's not happening. But it's creating the urgency to win the business in a timely manner. Mm. And to me, and that's what we teach, is it's whiteboarding, it's quantifying. It is the ability to stand up and become the authority in the room and coach and teach. That I had a lady in the office yesterday. She even said at the end of the meeting, and these are the things eventually you want to hear. She's like, I have met with 3 or 4 advisors since I moved to Nashville from California, and no one has ever talked to me this way. Because I had a full whiteboard behind me. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, tell me about that. I want you to know, if I never see you again, here's the investment decision filter. Whether you're buying real estate, stocks, bonds, investing in your business. She had a business where 3 kids are employed, and it was a really interesting situation. But she had never had the type of interaction or communication that touched the thing in her that was like, this feels right.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, I think this person was trying to sell me this. This person was trying to sell me that. Without knowing what was behind the curtain in our business, she was essentially describing our business.
Hmm.
It feels like most of them talk about one thing and they try to sell me something. What I know is some of those advisors were probably pretty good advisors. I bet they were really good at the investment account or the insurance. But what that person was left with was, it was kind of as expected.
Yeah.
Where she left our meeting like, I can't wait to work with you. That fee was surprising. I quoted a $15,000 fee for a 3-month engagement. And I said, that's just how it is. And our goal is to, you know, dramatically have a great return on that investment for you. There's some things we'll find quick, and there's other things it's going to take some time to find. But when you're ready, we're here to help. It took me a while to get to the point where I'd present that fee with confidence and sit in the silence as they processed it. And she's like, I can't wait to work with you. Let's just figure out what the best time is to do it. But it took the confidence of knowing I've sat with business owners before. I've learned the ideas. I have a system and whiteboard that I practice. And to her, it maybe feels pretty organic, but I jump up and I'm like, you're going to love this. Hey, has anybody ever told you this before?
Yeah.
It is this exciting, wow, this professional seems excited to talk to me about my business. And they're sharing ideas, like they're brainstorming on the fly, asking me great questions. That consultative type experience is what every advisor should be creating in their office. And if at the end of that meeting, it's, hey, right now you can pay me one of 2 ways. We can get paid a financial planning fee, or based on the assets you have, you can move those over and we'll give you a version of the financial plan too. Whatever it is that still values your time and ideas, we're all for it. But you have to become great at communicating. The knowledge is important, but I know so many advisors that know so much and they don't achieve their potential because they can't communicate it clearly to a person that doesn't understand.
I was at church last night and pastor said, what's the core mission of our church? And there's like 100 people there. And it was like, I'm pretty new. So I gave myself a pass. I was like, I don't know what their it is yet. But there's people that have been there a long time. And he's like, guys, we have to know that. Mm. Like we have to know our foundational belief and we have to be great. It has to be on the tip of our tongue because that's core to who we are. And if you are an advisor and you're like, I want to be different, you have to be able to say why you're different really quickly.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm better than another advisor, why are you better than another advisor? Yeah. I mean, the good news is that the bar is pretty low. The bad news is you might be part of that low bar, right? But you can get better so quickly with these communication tips. I want you to give a little bit more because I think that's true. You have a level of confidence when you are in a meeting with a business owner, a relaxation. How much of it is you just have 20 different ideas? How much it is you've practiced? What is something that, and on top of the knowledge, or is it just, you're just confident because you know you have 30 different ideas and you know you're going to have something to help that person?
Yep. I bounced around in this process because, you know, I didn't have a conference to go to or community part of it. It was kind of thinking this way. And so for me, it was knowledge first. Because I knew I needed some unique thing to capture somebody's attention.
Yeah.
Where I think I fell off was when I got in front of them, I hadn't practiced communicating that in a simple way visually.
Yeah.
That created interaction. I was still kind of the illustration pusher and writing on a notepad in front of them because that's the way I was trained. And so for me, it was the knowledge first. And then when I got into communication, I think there was a spectrum of I could communicate in an average way. I'm communicating new things, but I'm still doing it in an average way. Versus, okay, now I'm going to really lean into this communication thing and I'm going to learn like how do people do it well?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you come up with things like power phrases. You're like, okay, I'm finding myself saying things that always have an impact when I say it. And I learn I need to wait 10 seconds after I say it for them to process it.
Yeah.
So there's an element of repetition here. But my hope for everybody listening is you don't have to do it over 4 years like I did, trial and error. No. Like we figured this stuff out and we just give it to advisors. There's no reason all of us should be doing something different. If there is a system, a framework, because you can put your own style on it, that works, that clients like, and they pay you for stuff happily and they get results, the goal should be for us to figure out what that system is and for all of us to do it mm-hmm. every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an element now of knowledge first, but then when it comes to communication, like practice, get in a room by yourself on a whiteboard and start with, you know, the three buckets. We do that at our conference all the time. And it's amazing how version one is complicated and confusing. Yeah. And then within 2 hours, advisors have this really slick, simple to the point. And it's not random information. It's like, here's the something that you probably didn't know or no one's explained this way. Yeah. But I'm going to end by saying, here's why it matters to you. And if you don't leave with anything else today, I want you to remember this. Like, it's these, you're leaning in when it's time to lean in. You're pausing when it's time to pause. And I think that comes from repetition, but not just client-facing repetition where you're kind of missing out on opportunities. It's peer-to-peer. It's with our coaches. We have advisors who send us whiteboard videos. You have to just practice to get really good at it. And I think there's an energy now where somebody walks in a room, you know, worth $100 million, that comes to our office and I'm like, how can I help? I did not have that level of calm confidence in the past. It's been a combination of all those things.
And again, I think the alternative to that is, please pick me. Please pick me. That's an energy.
Well, it's like an external, please pick me, while you're also putting off an energy of like, I have no idea why you'd pick me.
Right. Yeah, then it's that. By the way, I don't know why you'd pick me. But so that energy of, you know, sort of like, gosh, I really hope they pick me, versus I'm here to help you and I can help you.
If you're a good fit.
If you're a good fit, right?
Yeah.
So you have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Now you're able to communicate well about the knowledge that you have. Next in our order is then it's about opportunities. Then it's about prospecting. Mm-hmm. I like to say it's created opportunities. It's not just happenstance. It's that you're going to take the knowledge, and this is a little bit of a free preview into what we teach at our event. You're going to take your knowledge. You're going to take the ideas that you know how to communicate really well, and you're going to go out and find and prospect using those ideas to find the people that this fits.
Yeah, we call that targeting strategies. And it is the way I wish I prospected from day one. Because targeting strategies doesn't say you need to know everything before you go out. Targeting strategy says you need to know one thing that matters to a certain group of people, and you know it well enough to coach them on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're the expert on it, or you'll end up following through on the strategy, whether that's you pass it to a CPA or an attorney to execute it. It's asking great questions that reveal to somebody, wow, there's a lot I haven't thought about. And then you get really good at communicating the potential value of that idea, so it creates urgency for them to take action sooner. And so if you have the knowledge, and we do this on purpose at our events, like I'm going to teach you how to know that you have the knowledge. It's a confidence thing as well. We're going to teach you how to communicate, because once you get the plate appearance, I want you to crush it. Like I want a close rate of 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they're ideal clients, 9 out of 10. Like that's the level, because people have so many needs that if you can communicate in the right way and put a structure around it, like it will work most of the time. And if the person that says no, it's probably not a no, it's probably just not right now, if you communicate it well. So we're big on prospecting. Prospecting is a huge need for all of us. But instead of showing up to your office and randomly cold calling or randomly asking for referrals from people and hoping it works out, there is a system where you can say, I know if I put in 5 hours, I get 10 prospects. Then the question is, how many 5 hours can I put into this machine I've built? And that's targeting strategies. Specific idea to a specific group of people that have that need. And then it's more of just a matter of time before they do business with you versus, do you even need me?
Mm-hmm. So you know what you're talking about. You're communicating it efficiently. You're getting in front of prospects. This is, I think, one of the easier ones. It's, can you close? Are you able to price it well and then create a level of urgency? What's one or two things you do before we wrap up with systems that you think are real keys to closing?
From a mindset standpoint, we have a saying internally, we say have three and set them free. That was a check on me, because I used to talk to people like 20 times and they would never do business with me. And I don't know if there's part of me that thought they were the only person left to talk to, so I might as well just keep wearing them out. Or I just, you know, felt like it was the path of least resistance as opposed to finding somebody new to call. But if I have three meaningful touch points with you, maybe it's a Zoom call, maybe it's an in-person meeting, and you do not take action, one of two things is true. I did not do a good job explaining to you and creating urgency, or you are not a good fit for me. And so I will have three with you and then I'll let it sit. If you are a great prospect and maybe the timing's not right, I'll put you on a list and I'll continue to drip on you and send you good content. Like, but I will not stop the machine to hyper-focus on one or two people anymore and just wear them down for business.
Yeah.
Or they're revealing, this isn't that important to me. I'm not willing to pay for it. Hey, I want everything you're offering. I just don't want to pay you. Okay, that's not how I do business.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's kind of that, that's one mindset side of things. On the other, you do need to be able to kind of lean in, meaning when the time is right, communicate your value really well and then give them a choice to make.
Yes.
And for us, that's hopefully at the end of meeting two, when you say, here's how we get paid. Wow, look at all the potential value we can add, which makes this investment you can make in us almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Sometimes that might go to three meetings, you know, if people have questions, but to me, you need to have a system to where in three meetings, you are positioning yourself, being generous with your time and ideas, but then you're moving towards a close.
And we do have people in our community that struggle with this portion of it. I think one of the most common errors they make is they will submit the proposal to them via email or something, and they don't go through it with them. There's no context.
Yeah.
Or the context is one that the client is making for themselves. And so it's really, really important to present that to them, with them, talk them through it. You know, don't wait till the last 2 minutes of the meeting and go, and pay.
That's right.
Leave some time to process it. They know it's coming. They know you don't work for free. But there's other
meeting phrases. One for me is data gathering and value add. And the whole purpose of meeting one is to get meeting two. Meeting two, the first half of meeting two is to continue to add value, hopefully based off of information they sent to you between meeting one and meeting two, to where you can more personalize some of the potential ideas you're going to have for them. And then the second half of meeting two is proposal and talking through any questions they have. Somebody may say, okay, I'm going to think about this. That's great. Some people are like, game on, where do I sign? But if you add so much value in a meeting and a half, by the time you get to the proposal, it's a formality and there's going to be some questions, but they're not surprised by it. At the end of meeting one, you told them that we get paid for our financial plans. So they're expecting some type of proposal and fee in meeting two. Your energy, your level of confidence. And if you can get to a place, and I've said this before, but it has to be genuine. We need to get started right away. If you work with the right advisor, there's a lot of opportunity here because people, especially in this space, want to be told what to do. Like they don't want this like, hey, if you're ready, let me know, but no big deal. It's like, this is so important. This could be life-changing for your family. And my fear is that if you don't take action, whether it's me or somebody else, you're going to regret this. And unfortunately, some of this stuff, you'll never get that time back and you'll never be able to catch up versus if you take action the next month or two. I care so much about it that here's some ideas. I didn't charge you for them. Please take action in some way. If you mean that when you say it, they feel it. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it creates urgency and trust. And, you know, it's not, if you are a fit, it's not a yes or no. It's what's the right time for us to get started.
The last piece of this is systems. You need to have systems to support all these promises you've made and all the things you're going to do for people. And I think it's the least exciting for most people. But I had a conversation with three advisors in the last week that left our event, which happened eight days ago. And they went home and they sold plans from our event to today. They all sold plans. And one of them, I said, okay, so what are you excited about? This. I said, what are you worried about? And they're like, I mean, I got to deliver on this plan thing. I said, you know, what's great though, is you now have money to go. If you have to go get something else or go hire someone or whatever it might be, isn't it great to be able to fund your business to go create better systems or get new software or whatever it might be? So the systems is the last piece, not because it's negotiable. It's not negotiable. You have to do it. Mm-hmm. But when we look at this, is it, you know, if you listen to this show, you're a person of integrity. Like those are the kind of people that we attract. And so again, thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of our community. Like you're going to figure out the systems, but you also have to have systems. Like you can't do all those things and have that bad systems because that will catch up with you. Yeah. So I'll let you have the last word on the importance of systems.
Yeah, I think what I'm realizing is financial planning is just a system wrapped around probably a lot of the stuff you're already doing. We're going to level it up and have more intention around it, but it's you're adding a system to, hey, actually, when I deliver this, it's going to look professional. I'm going to have a system of gathering the data more intentionally. When I was, you know, a securities investment-based advisor or insurance-based advisor, it's like I'm gathering a lot of the same information, but I'm using it to justify a product purchase. Now I'm using it to paint a big picture. And so, yeah, maybe I need to invest in a couple more tools. I need to have our plan score tool that our community uses is the deliverable that goes in front of clients. So that makes that easy for you. That tool builds your proposals for you. So there will be some lift of saying, okay, I need, from when somebody says yes, I need to have a system of gathering information, clearly communicating what their goals were, and then delivering an action plan to them that they actually understand. And the good news is you don't have to make that from scratch. Or the advisors that come to our event, we're like, here's everything.
Yeah.
Go get them. And when they're like, oh, wait, I'm already meeting with people. Now I just need to add an extra option. Before, I'm just trying to get their investment account. Now I'm going to say, but by the way, I think it's really important that we do a deeper dive right now. And this is probably something you should do every 3 to 4 years, is where we really dive in and we get new data and we build a plan just to make sure you're on track. This is what that looks like. I will not tell you if you are new to this planning world and all you've done for is AUM or insurance, that you have to stop doing everything else, because you'll run into $1 million AUM client and your fear will be, well, if they say no to the plan, I'm going to miss out on the assets. That usually is not the case, but I understand the fear. Then maybe you start by saying, option one is I manage your assets and you get 2 meetings a year for 30 minutes. Option two, you get a full-fledged financial plan that we build over the next 3 months and you get 4 meetings this year, but there's a fee for that. I think presenting both options allows you to avoid over-serving people and not getting paid for it. And if anybody ever asks for more, you can be like, oh, I love that. I'd love to do that for you. Here's what that option looks like. So even just start going down to where you're giving them an option that doesn't give away your time and ideas for free. Hopefully you get more confident to where you're positioning it more intentionally, because people will say yes to it. But if the head trash is holding you back, just make sure it's at least an option for people to work with you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, brother. Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up and coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity or you know somebody that would be a potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.